Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. Joining us online, we have is Mawlana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And we take this opportunity of greeting all our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mawlana. Just a quick recap that we are doing the commentary of Suratul Kahf, and inshallah from today we will be splitting our time in half. That is, first we will do the commentary of Suratul Kahf, and in the second half of the program we will be doing something that is understanding what is modern technology and social media in today's times.
Inshallah.
And I will give an introduction to that a bit later.
Yes, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, Mawlana, just a very quick recap of what we did last week is we were explaining again the reason we see in the first two ayats where Allah mentions قَيِّمًا لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا. This is in Surah Kahf. And the reasons of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down this kitab, that is the Quran. And amongst the reasons was بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا, where Allah warns us of a great war. And thereafter Allah mentions وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, where there is great tidings to the mu'mineen who do good deeds, that they will enter Jannah. Also, what we explained last week is that Anbiya warned their nations of the fitna of Dajjal. And all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam warned about the fitna of Dajjal, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam went extensively about warning us about Dajjal, and even described Dajjal. And then we did about the war will be a kind that humanity has never seen before, and only the Quran will be a refuge, that is a source of protection. And then we explained the story of Suratul Kahf, in it there's a refuge. And thereafter we did the few words that come from وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And we took each word and we broke it down. Like, for example, we took Bashir and we said this is giving good news, congratulating. And this comes from Bashar, where something that becomes manifest, like human beings. And then we did about mu'minin, where those who truly believe. And the last one we did was as-salihat, where a person does a good deeds. So even when it comes to this time when it's difficult, then a person should carry on with his good deeds. Normally we see when people go through hardship, sometimes we neglect our deeds that we are doing, even if it's small. Like we mentioned, a person should carry on with aqimus salah, he should do birrul walidain, that is, be good to his parents. And he should still carry on with ukhuwah. Marana?
That's correct, Marana.
I think this is where we stopped.
Yes. Taking the discussion further, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, taking the discussion further from where we had concluded last week, where we talked of a'mal salihat, righteous deeds, and we said that the righteous deeds have a lasting impact on ourselves and on society at large. And at times of difficulties, we should not regard any act as insignificant, any righteous deed as insignificant. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His great wisdom, is telling us, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that this Quran has come to give glad tidings for those among the believers. And we described and we gave the difference between mu'mineen and الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who continue bettering and improving the iman for those people. And how do they do that? By a'mal salihat. And we are discussing the whole aspect of a'mal salihat, because this word a'mal salih is a very commonly used terminology in many discourses. Good deeds, righteous deeds, a'mal salih. And there is a need for us to have the correct and the perfect understanding of this terminology, amal salih, good deeds. And for this, I want to draw our attention and I want to share some thoughts on a very beautiful example from which we will draw the lasting effect and the lasting impact of amal salih. In Surah Baqarah, ayah number 158, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Inna Safa wal Marwa min Sha'airillah." Since this is a season of Hajj, it might be very much more better understood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember, we are addressing amal salih the lasting impact of a small deed that may seem to be small, but what great impact it may have on society and the individual, and especially in difficult times, in hard times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, Safa and Marwa are among the marks of Allah, min sha'airillah. Safa and Marwa are from the symbols of Allah. It gives you a realization that it is the source of feelings. They are symbols that remind you of Allah, and they are supposed to make you realize certain realities. As you are engaged in Safa and Marwa in Sa'i, you are supposed to have certain feelings. When we do Safa and Marwa, when we do Sa'i, we are actually replicating Hajra's movements. At the time, this Safa and Marwa were not sacred when she was running between the two mountains. Makkah was not sacred. It was a valley with no cultivation. Our mother, Hajar, was running up and down two hills with her little baby Ismail, alayhi salatu wassalam, looking for water. But she did not lose her trust in Allah. That was her fitna at that time. That was her difficulty and her challenge at that time. On the one hand, to find water for her baby, Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. But during the difficult period of finding water in a valley that was barren, not losing her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we are faced with any difficulty, we need to always recall the incident of Hajra, that in spite of the difficulty that she had experienced in her life, that was one of her most difficult moments, but she did not lose trust in Allah. Her test is being in a desert and having to run up and down a hill. Her holding on to the hope in Allah was so powerful that that valley became sacred for no other reason than that woman trying to save her baby. Subhanallah. Millions of people run up and down between Safa and Marwa, celebrating a woman trying to save her baby. One would think of that as such a small thing. But how big is it to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said Safa and Marwa are from the rituals and symbols of Allah. Allah gave it such value. Those people are congratulated. The people will have a smile on their face. In this ayah, Allah says, وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The glad tidings are for those who do good deeds. And those that do good deeds will feel the happiness. In other words, in the middle of a horrible war, in the middle of a terrible challenge, in the middle of this fitna that we are facing, where so many reasons we have to be sad and depressed exist, there's going to be a group of people that are constantly going to be happy. And they are going to be happy because they are holding on to the Quran. And the Quran is giving value to whatever little they are doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is appreciating the work they are doing. The world is falling apart, and we see that in our times. But those that are engaged and steadfast in doing good deeds, they are not. They are standing up straight, qayyiman. Remember, we spoke about the word qayyiman. They are aware of the fitna, they are aware of the war, they are aware of the difficulties, and they are watching out and taking their precaution, but they also know that what they are doing is worth something huge. Maybe they won't see the huge returns of it here, but they are going to see returns of their good deeds in the year after. They are overjoyed in the opportunity to serve. Light is the most valuable in dark times. I always say that when I need some work from someone, that you always look for the light switch when the sun sets. So light is the most valuable in dark times. That's when you need the light the most. People that are small sources of light, And people that are trying to do little bit, you can compare them to a small little candle. In dark times, you can do what you can until Allah brings His light. This is the attitude we need to internalize. And that is being given to us here in this ayah where Allah says, وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Think of the frustrations of the Muslim ummah today and the complaints that we have about what is happening to our ummah today. There are people that are screaming at the top of their lungs, and what they are calling for and encouraging the believers to have. Does it sound like they are calling for something in the akhirah, or are they asking for help in this dunya? They are constantly reminding you of the glory days when Muslims were in power, disbelievers were in the bottom, and how we need to be the leaders of the world, and we need to have this power. Is this about Islam being dominant, or is it about you and I being dominant? If we don't give this book, the Quran, its due, if we don't give it its value, then we will get terrible misguidance out of it as a punishment from Allah. And we need to give the Quran its due. We need to get an understanding of the Quran. We need to realign our connection with the Quran. Because Allah guides with this book and also misguides with this book many. If we mistreat the Quran, it will react and give us what it came for. If we come to the Quran with a problem or a bias, and you will only further in your bias. You come to it with hate, it will only fill you with more hate. If you come to it seeking validation or what you think is right, it will only further you in that. But if you come to the Quran saying, I don't know what is right, oh Allah, teach me, then this Quran will guide us. This is the fitna of our time within ourselves. This is a kind of materialism that we are infected with. Among the many objectives of the surah, Surah Kahf, is to undo all the forms of materialism, both internal and external. And one primary reason of being gripped in materialism, or the effect of being gripped in materialism, is to show disregard a good deed. That's what this ayah is telling us. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Let's even further go into the discussion of the use of the word أَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحِ in the Quran. Allah says, عَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ or عَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ is a very comprehensive expression in the Quran. And this expression of the Quran, عَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ, righteous deeds, includes the entire spectrum of deeds, all kinds of deeds. But the words actually make a reference to a profound wisdom. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling deeds salihat, Allah used the word salihat to express deeds. Let's understand, by doing good deeds, you are going to be fixing and rectifying your personal life, your emotional state. Every decision that you make, your livelihood, the way you are going to be spending your days, the way we're going to be spending our nights, our social nights, our physical body, our mind, our heart. When we do salihat, righteous deeds, we are not just doing good things. You are actually doing what is making you a better person. It is repairing and fixing yourself. This is the idea that everything Allah gave you, all good deeds that Allah has declared as good, is actually to replenish us. When people do good deeds, they usually think of themselves as doing something that will benefit someone else. If I am being good to my parents, if I am being good to my brother, if I am being truthful to someone, generally the feeling that we get and the emotion that we have is that whatever I'm doing is actually benefiting someone else. But by using the word salihat, that the way Allah has used and described deeds as salihat, it's actually telling us that what you are doing something for your own self. It is fixing your own self, and it is addressing a problem that you have. If you think of it that way, that any good deed that I'm going to perform, it's actually going to benefit me, it's rectifying me, then pretty much every deed that we do in one way or the other would help us. It will fix our own problems. It is as though Allah has given us an entire library of remedies for our own personal problems. Let me repeat this, what I'm saying. A'mal as-salihah, doing good deeds, is as if Allah has given us an entire library of remedies for our own personal problems. Example, to be engaged in the dhikr of Allah is a remedy for heedlessness. The performance of salah is a remedy for fahsha and munkar, for bad deeds. Zakah is a remedy for getting your wealth to be pure, so that whatever you put your wealth into, good will come out of it. It isn't just about your money. It's now halal. But zakah also puts barakah in your money. And the more good will come out of your money when you spend it. It is blessed now. So everything that is done within the spectrum of salihat are actually making your life better, and it's fixing you up. You keep fixing yourself, you keep reforming yourself by islah. The word islah means reformation. So the human being keeps perfecting himself and growing and maturing himself, so he can finally reach the potential that Allah wanted him to reach, that was embedded in his fitrah. In our fitrah, we are innocent. In our fitrah, we are ought to be free of sin, and constantly working towards that. But every day we get polluted. And these a'mal as-salihah, these righteous deeds, are actually undoing that pollution and working back towards that pure state that we were once in, so that we can finally get to where we need to get to, and that is the perfect mu'min. So these are the salihat as a result of them. Even though we will never reach perfection in this life, perfection in this life is never going to happen. Our personal selves get corrupted over and over again. So we are going to need these good deeds over and over again, because we will have to keep refining ourselves. This will be an endless process, because we are engaged in this process of doing righteous deeds. When we do leave this earth, Allah will actually remove the dirty element from us once and for all, and we will be, insha'Allah, in a perfected state. But people who are not engaged in the process are not going to be granted that eternal perfection and cleansing. In it, there is a grand mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the performance of righteous deeds. Besides it being a library of perfection, there is also a grand mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These deeds, a'mal as-salihah, are profound. They are few in number, yet they are for our own benefit. One cannot be obsessed with doing their deeds for the sake of others, at the expense of one's own self. This is the mentality of many Islamic workers today. Many people that are engaged in the work of deen, people that are engaged in teaching, people that are engaged in the work of propagation, they feel that they are doing this for others. This mentality of Islamic workers or people that are involved in a kind of community work, when they are constantly concerned about the benefit of others at the expense of their own selves. Others' benefits are secondary when we do good deeds. The great, profound, first benefit is for yourself. The deen, this deen is about salihat and yourself. Before becoming a Muslim, one has to work fixing everybody else, One has to work for himself. And the benefit of this amal salih that we will do, as Allah has said in this ayah, أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا Subhanallah. Then you will be granted a beautiful ajr. This ajr is for exclusivity. They will have a beautiful compensation in exchange for the work that they do. Ujur, the word, is generally used for paychecks or wages. For reward, you have different words. Sawab, ajr, fadal. Ajr especially refers to wages paid for labor. It's also used for when you give up something of yours for someone else to use. It's a kind of exchange in which you always have to give something up. So in this ayah, you are not giving up anything. You're not losing anything. You are only doing things that are going to help yourself. And then you are being paid for it, subhanallah. You are doing salihat, good deeds, which is for your own benefit. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paying you for it. And the highest level of spirituality in Islam is described as ihsan. Allah talks about ihsan, in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum. If you reached ihsan, you've only reached ihsan for yourself. You are the primary beneficiary of your ihsan. You cannot benefit Allah. We cannot benefit Allah. We can only benefit ourselves. This is an important perspective of someone to have and to internalize about this ayah. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Indeed, for them will be an ajr, will be a pay, which is the best of pays. This brings us to the end of today's discussion, Morana. As you have highlighted, that the second half of our program, we will talk about the fiqh of social media, the understanding of social media. We'll stop here, and inshallah, next week we'll continue from here.
Morana, this is the second segment, and this is something new that we are doing. This is the understanding of social media, or the understanding of modern technology. Morana, you can give us a bit of an introduction to it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's a bit of a shift from our normal program. I would like to introduce this section or this session with a surah of the Holy Quran, which is Wal Asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah takes an oath by the token of time. Through every age, verily man is in loss, except such as have faith and do righteous deeds, and join together in the mutual teaching of truth and of patience and constancy. In this chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified as Allah is, gives us a blueprint for our lives. And it is so, again, you know, that's the beauty of the Quran al-Kareem. It's timeless. There's no timeline for the surah, for the Quran. How appropriate is this surah in the times that we are living in? And Allah takes a qasam and an oath by the token of time. Allah gives us a blueprint for our lives in this surah. To have faith, to do righteous deeds. And we just were speaking about righteous deeds prior to the break. And then Allah says, and those that join together to teach people truth, patience. Our first priority then is to have faith and to do good deeds as individuals, as families, as a collective community, and in the broad understanding and instruction and advice that Allah has given in this surah. It is from here that I want to draw our attention to something that is, actually we can even call it a plague, social media. And the fiqh of social media. The discussion on this topic is so important. Just as we teach our children to tie their shoelaces, we need to teach them. And we need to teach ourselves. I recall just before 9, Moana Suleiman Rawat was talking about social media, and some people sent some SMSs and suggested that parents need to learn about this platform. So social media and the discussion is so important. Just as we teach our children to tie their shoelaces, we need to teach them and ourselves how we are going to navigate social media. What are the proper etiquettes of its usage? Today, the virtual world has become an extension of our lives. If we don't take a hands-on approach, we may not even recognize ourselves. We may not even recognize our partners. We may not even recognize our children. Many of the problems that we are going to address in this discussion of ours are not limited to just social media. They also would address the psychology of the generation that we are living in, and how we can overcome the problems that we don't even consider to be a problem. Firstly, technology, Bahana. What is the position of technology in Islam? This is the first question that we need to address. And I, as a statement, I would say that Islam is not averse to technology, it is not averse to technological progress. Now, whenever we make such statements, there is a need for us to verify and give some dalil, some proof, as to what is the basis upon which we make this claim. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to give an incident, and throughout our discussion, we're going to draw. You know, one of the most beautiful things of our deen is the relevance of the Quran and the relevance of the ahadith. And we find that in the past, whenever our scholars entered any environment, they entered that environment, understanding that environment in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. And that is what's required of us today. We need to understand the broad understanding of our deen, that how relevant is our deen, and that establishes the beauty of our deen. Now, what I've said is that Islam is not averse to technological progress. And let me give a dalil from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as an unlettered person to an unlettered community. The people in Makkah, majority of them, did not have the skill to read and write. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started the propagation of deen and calling to Islam verbally. But then there was a need to communicate this message with other nations. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the means of communicating via letters and correspondence. When he started writing letters and correspondence to other nations, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, people that lived in other areas, it was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, these people do not accept a letter without a seal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a seal made for him in a form of a ring. You know, this incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may seem as if an ordinary, insignificant act. But the meanings that we can draw from this incident are so profound. Rasulullah did not say, this is not our way. Point being, Islam is not averse to progress and an advancement with regard to adopting the commonly used medium for communications, more specifically in relation to communicating the message of Islam. Rasulullah accepted the advice that yes, a seal is required. He had a seal made because that was the progress in the form that was available at that time, from verbal communication to letter writing and then sealing of the letter. That in those days was the technology that was used to verify the authenticity of a communication. And Rasulullah adopted that. This is what we are talking of. Subsequent scholars used the medium of books and the printing of books. So technological progress will never be undone. Now, one such advancement in our time, I'm fast-forwarding the whole procedure, Maulana, in the history of Islam. One such advancement in our time is social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, and so on. Social media is a tool and I'm going to say something now, Maulana, that may I might draw some criticism. Let it be. It's a fact. It's a reality, and we need to be cognizant and aware of the times that we are living in. Social media is a tool just like television was before social media, and the printing press before television. What I'm saying here is that as much as the debate that goes around the use of television, it's no more even a medium that is so prominent like social media. Social media has actually taken over from television. So social media is a tool like how television was before, and how the printing press was even before television. The tool is not inherently good or evil. Technology inherently is not good or evil, it's neutral. It's how we use it. This point is fairly obvious. Now when we look at our times, among the most common practice, among the most common engagements, is to be in touch. To be in touch via social media. In fact, I would even go to say that before a person goes to sleep, he first looks at his telephone. When he gets up, even if he's put an alarm on the phone to wake him up for Fajr Salah, the first thing that he goes after the putting of his alarm is, what WhatsApp messages did I have? Or what's the latest validation I've got for my post that I've posted on my Facebook page? It's such a common practice and such a common engagement that hardly anyone is immune from this. How many of us don't have a Facebook account or a WhatsApp account or a Twitter account or any of the other means of communications that are available today? We exist in our societies. We are affected by our environment, by what goes around. We are not immune from this. So what I'm saying is, social media is a very intimate part of the daily life of a Muslim. We're not going to ask how much time we spend on it. It's all available for us to see. In fact, the amount of time that we spend on our phone or on the social media is recorded in the background. And this record cannot be deleted. Inshallah, as we go along, we will even talk about it. It's not even about your book of records. You are recording your actions unknowingly on the media. Just to give you an idea, Maulana, of how we use the social media. A timeline of someone that went for Hajj.
Right.
You know, he'll write, just reached Mina. Just prayed Zohar in Mina. Just prayed Asr. Had tea, prayed Maghrib, had dinner in Mina. I mean, that's how we've become. In many different ways, we are learning to communicate with mass amounts of people in a very short, quick, manageable amount of time, or sometimes even unmanageable amount of time, and also in short messages. So, it's there. The medium of social media is there. Technology and the use of the smartphones is there. We will never be able to undo it. The deeper questions that we need to ask is, what guidance is there in our Sharia? In as far as these mediums are concerned, more so, these are inventions of modern day. They were not there during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So are there any guidance in our deen with regards to the use of social media? Or is our deen irrelevant? And subhanallah, alhamdulillah, this deen of ours is so beautiful that there is not a challenge that we will face that this deen does not give us guidance on. You know, there are many ahadith that addresses the issue of social media. There are many ayats of the Quran al-Kareem that addresses the issue of social media. The important thing is to have the understanding, the correct understanding and the correct implication of this. So this is a topic that is just as important as the understanding of the masail of Salah, Zakah, Hajj, Ramadan. This is a topic that addresses something that has become a repeated part of the life of the average Muslim on a daily routine, and that is means of communicating online. Whether it be through WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is. And so this is like a form of communication where we are going to have to learn, and I'm saying it with emphasis, it's a form of communication where we are going to have to learn how to manage it properly in view of our deen. Myself, Mana, and maybe many of our listeners, as an avid Facebook user for a while, and then I've switched it off because it just takes up so much of your time. I have tested its fruits, but also experienced the sickness of excess and felt the danger of getting lost among the trees when using this. It's such a disease of addiction that you actually become lost among the trees. And therefore, I myself found it interesting to see, is there anything in our Sharia? And that's the relevance of our Sharia. Whenever Muslims are faced with a new environment, Muslims enter it carrying their principles with them. We also need a sound understanding, the fiqh of the realities of this environment and how to handle some of the specifics that we are faced with. Something very important about our Sharia is to connect the current times with the Quran and the Sunnah. When we study our pious predecessors and scholars, we note they took the Quran and they took the Sunnah and understood their current circumstances in the light of the Quran and Sunnah. So if something is such an integral part of our life, it becomes extremely important to know and understand how to use it, how to conduct ourselves, what is right, what is wrong, what is permissible, what is impermissible. I don't want to put something heavy on our listeners, but in my humble opinion, Maulana, and you know, there are lots of ulama that listen to our programs, and I don't mind some input from them. But in my humble opinion, it is farz, it is obligatory, it is mandatory to learn and know how to enter this environment and how to use it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, talabul ilm faridatan ala kulli muslim. What and how much of knowledge is fard? Scholars have said, that amount of knowledge that is required to live your daily life, that amount of knowledge that is required to live your daily life, that is consistent with the commands of Allah and the precedent of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is necessary. Now our religion shows its relevance. This deen shows its beauty that it even guides us in these issues. Normally when we listen to the hadith, talabul ilmu faridatun ala kulli muslim, that the seeking of knowledge, we restrict it to salah, zakah, hajj, ramadan. But it also with regards to our social interaction with people. Actions, now, let's just use another hadith, Maulana. And we may conclude with this hadith and ask some input from our listeners. There is a beautiful hadith that each one of us use regularly. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Actions are judged by the intention. Now, many a times we read this hadith, we listen to this hadith, and we only address this hadith in aspects that are regarded as ibadat, etc. Now, the beauty of our deen and the relevance of our deen is to attract, or rather understand, the ahadith and the ayats of the Quran in current times. Now let's look at this hadith with regards to social media. Actions are judged by their intentions. So each man will have what he intended. Therefore, he whose migration was to Allah and his messenger, his migration is to Allah and his messenger. And he whose migration was for some worldly benefit or for a wife he might marry, his migration is for that which he migrated. This is a hadith. Intention is at the core of any action, and of social media is no exception. Intention is the core of any action, and social media is no exception. It is famously said, the intention should be checked before a deed, while performing a deed, and even after the deed is done. Your intention has to be checked before a deed. Your intention has to be checked while performing a deed. Your intention has to be checked even after the deed is done. We must assess why we are sharing something or posting a particular status or posting a particular update. What is the underlying message we are trying to convey? Who are we really writing it for? What do we actually hope the response is? Why? This question is so important when we are engaged in social media. It all starts here. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, actions are by intentions. And every person will get rewarded according to what he is intended. Every facet of social media and every facet of networking boils down to this. We must examine not just our social media impacts our lives, but also the manner in which we interact with it. Technologies and platforms will change. The core of connecting and sharing is here to stay. There are a number of tough questions that we need to ask. Why do you choose to follow a friend? Why do you choose to unfollow someone? Why do you choose to unfriend someone? Why do you utilize social media? Why are you posting or sharing a particular status update? Who are you targeting when you write something? What kind of response are you seeking? Intentions is at the core of any action. It is famously said, the intention should be checked before a deed, while performing a deed, and after the deed is done. Mauna, let's stop here. Hello, Mauna. Let's stop here. I know we're taking quite a bit of time, and 1 or 2 minutes maybe if our listeners want to have an input, and then we'll continue from here next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Maulana Ji, we can give them 1 or 2 minutes. It's at the moment 9:58, so we do have 2 minutes. Please let us know about your input, especially with this topic. It's pertinent in today's time, that is social media, and we would like the input of the listeners or any other ulama that is out there that are listening to us. They can even give us their views, Maulana.
Yes, if I've misquoted anything, Maulana, that's most important.
SMS line is 48855. That's 48855. Inshallah, we'll take a very short break and we'll return just after that.
Allah, Allah, you are my all, you are my love. Words can't describe my love for you. Allah, Allah, you are my Lord. All praises to your beauty and compassion. Allah.
Welcome back. Well, we didn't get any response, but I know it's a very short time that we did ask. So if anybody does have anything or they have any input, they can SMS myself. It's on 0723287777. They can send an SMS or whatever. And they can even contact us and give us their input. Inshallah, Maulana, we'll continue next week with the same topic, Maulana. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to Maulana next week. This brings the end of today's episode. Very interesting. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, brother Ziad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.